Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Strand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I am Naima Latif, and we'll be joined by our co-host Kareem Hamid and our special co-host for the day, Maika, as we take a look at step parenting. How do you raise another's child as your own? And what if they don't particularly welcome you into the family? And what if you don't particularly like them? How do you make it work? We'll talk about that today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our co-hosts for today. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press the 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. So stay with us. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts as we talk about step parenting. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Michelle.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Challenges with our technology over the past couple of weeks, but so far everything has gone smoothly today, so we'll pray that we continue to have a smooth ride as we talk about a situation that is quite common. We all know people who are part of what they now call blended families. People get married, have children. Either one of them dies, or maybe they get a divorce. But either way, the relationship ends, and a person remarries, bringing children with them. Being a step-parent is not easy, because even though the adults might be in harmony, sometimes their children are not in harmony with their choice. Sometimes the parent doesn't necessarily like the attitude of the children that they're expected to mother or father, that they didn't give birth to or didn't supply the seed for. So we're going to talk about that, because there are more blended families now than ever before. And many of the family conflicts come about when someone must step in and be that step parent. And depending on the dynamics of the family, the conditions of the divorce or the death or whatever the case may be, we're expected to make everything be harmonious, and it doesn't always happen. So we're going to share our experiences and give some insight and maybe even some things to consider for people who may be in that situation and having a hard time, especially if there's a little bit of friction because the children of the previous spouse is not are not necessarily on board with the new situation. So that's what we're taking a look at today. And I've had a lot of feedback from a lot of people who they say, well, look, I'm marrying her. I'm not marrying these children. You know, that's just for the other father to do his job. And then there are others who say, well, no, I, you know, welcome her children into my life. And there are women who say, well, look, I don't want to be bothered with his baby mama drama. You know, she needs to just butt out of our lives. You know, all these kinds of things. But the bottom line is our goal is always to raise emotionally healthy children that can contribute in a positive way to the society. That's always the responsibility, whether we're parenting or step-parenting. So how do we handle it if there is friction because the relationship with the new children is not smooth? So, Brother Kareem, would you like to start us off with your thoughts on this issue and maybe some insight based on experiences you had or observed?
Yes. This is a very important topic dealing with adults and children. Excuse me. You know, whether I have fathered children or a mother has given birth to a child, the role of parent is not just tied to whoever brought the child from birth. All of us or parents, all whether the child comes from our loins or not, we are entrusted with children, with children, and we must be aware of that. And as adults, I'm aware of sometimes the flawed thinking of children. But as adults, we must deal with the reality that we are entrusted with our children. Whether they came from our loins or not, it is a trust and a responsibility to nurture and care for children, whether they came from my loins or not. And if we're in the same household, you know, let's say a mother is yet living. She's alive. And they are aware of their mother. You know, the idea or the statement or the inference should be made, I'm not to replace your mother. I am not, you have your mother, and I truly appreciate her, but I'm not here to replace her, but I will help in your nurturing, in seeing after you. But your mother is your mother, you know, because sometimes the children have a resentment because they will say, well, you aren't my mother. Or is it you aren't my father? You know, well, yes, yeah. You are right. You are definitely right. And I'm not here to replace your father. He is your father. He is to be appreciated and honored. But I do have the responsibility of seeing to your well-being, And your father and I, we don't have any problems. We get along well. If that is the case, sometimes the adults act irresponsible. They speak ill of each another, or either they use their children as a bargaining chip or something to hit back at their previous spouse, that truly causes dissension in the home. But the children need to know that they have a secure support system, and that includes the biological parents, but also other responsible adults. And it should be stated emphatically, your father is your father. I'm not here to replace your father, but I'm here to help you in any way that I can, because whether we have children from our loins or not, and we are adults, we have to understand that we are parents. We are parents, and we are entrusted. There's a trust that comes along with being in that position. So to try to defuse any rancor or any displeasure, I believe the adults must act like adults. They must know the most important ingredient in this blended family are those that's under their charge, their children. So as parents, we would go a long way if we can solidify within the thinking and the well-being of our children that they are safe and secure under our charge. That is most important. Sometimes children, they wish that their parents had remained married. They wish that their parents had remained married, but that is not the reality. They have separated, but he or she is still your mother and still your father. And we should encourage them to truly play an active role in the well-being, the care, and nurturing of our children. Let me say that again, our children. We're all responsible for the well-being of our children, whether they came from our loins or not. And that idea of security, close relationship with the biological parent is most important. So as adults, if we could come together and realize that and not use the children as a weapon to harm each other, but to secure in our children their safety, their security, their nurturing, then I think hopefully we can put to rest this dissension that can occur in a blended family. I'll stop right there. There's so much more to be added to that, but I look forward to hearing from you, Maika, and the listening audience. Thank you for listening to my comments.
Well, thank you so much for those comments. Definitely. I agree that I think that the step-parent needs to have that conversation early on with the children. No, I'm not your blood parent, but I'm going to do my best to care for you. And unfortunately, I've seen in so many families where in a moment of anger or argument, you know, that insult gets hurled at you. You're not my mother. You're not my father. You know, when you try to establish some order or discipline or rules, because sometimes your parenting method or your standards that you require might be different than the parent that was born to them or they were born to. And so they resist change. But Maika, what have you observed and experienced when it comes to mothering others' children or having, you know, someone step in and be a parent to your children from another relationship, or even observed how people have tried to handle that?
I'm in my mind going through all the scenarios that I've been involved in with that this particular topic, and trying to pull out the gems, if possible, that we have to attune to if we're going to be successful. First of all, in any relationship, there's going to be problems. I don't care who it is. And that means that we have to have a strategy for dealing with problems as they show up. And so often in this society that was framed from a slave society, we haven't learned a lot of problem-solving solutions. And so I see how problems continue to mount and mount and mount with no resolution possible. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. Her daughter is in a relationship with another woman. And so and they had children through artificial insemination. So there's a girl and then there's a boy. And the little girl is 8 years old. So my friend went over to the house and was preparing dinner and what have you. And then after dinner was ready, you know, sitting down with the children, their mothers were away. And the little girl, my friend said, okay, let's bless the food. And the little girl said, Grandma, we don't do that here. It was like, oh, my God. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. And, of course, my friend was just stumped. It's like, how do I deal with this? You know, the mothers are not pushing faith and praise and thanksgiving to the child. So how do I respond to that? So she really didn't, she didn't have an appropriate response. She had no idea that I was going to come up to her. And that's what happens.
We don't do that.
I laughed when she told me. I could not stop laughing. It was like, oh, my God. Wow.
So now how would you have handled that? Yeah, how would you have handled that if you were in the house and you get ready to pray and you go, we don't do that here?
Probably would have laughed like I did when she told me. But I would have, you know, it's so much foundation piece that's missing because she doesn't have, the little girl, she has no foundation for understanding why she should be thankful for the food that's prepared and that she's getting ready to eat. She has no understanding of that, so you have to start from the beginning of who you are and constantly work to help her to understand why that's important. I don't think in the moment there would be an appropriate response. I think over time there would be a response because she would have to talk to the parents also as to why that is so, why they aren't doing blessings at the meal time. And their consent and agreement that that's something that should be done or not be done, however they're coming. So it's something that would have to have been, that has to be done over time as you get agreement from other people in the family. So one of the ingredients in terms of parenting that's so vital and important, but it's missing in so many people, is maturity. Having maturity. How do you deal with situations? The immature person deals with things in basically in a violent way, a way that creates further conflict. But when you're mature, you take more of a holistic view of all of the components presented by the problem, and then you address it. I remember in my family, my husband had two sons before I married him. And when I had my first son, he decided to name my son after him, his namesake, right? James Luther Bell. Well, the other two sons who were older, one of them in particular had a real problem with that and was just harassing my son. He had a negative attitude towards my son. He probably still have it to this day. Because of that, he felt that oldest child, this is the oldest son, he felt that he should have had that name and not my son. How do you deal with a situation like that? Okay, so now there's a rift in the family that is How do you solve that problem? It's already done. There's nothing you can do. You can't go back and change the names. How do you get this other child who felt abandoned as a child anyway to accept the reality as it is? So, you know, you have to look at all these situations and find strategies and solutions to solve them. And then that goes into healing, because all of that goes into the emotions. I feel neglected. I feel abandoned. I feel ignored. Well, how do you uproot these negative feelings? And that's part of the strategy for moving forward. And so we don't have those tools, those strategies in place, like EFT, the emotional freedom technique, or other techniques that deal specifically with emotional transformation. So as we go along, I'll probably bring up some more things that I've experienced and have occurred in my life.
Yeah, we've all had some issues. I think that is kind of comical about the we don't do that here remark about the prayer. But like you say, that there's a whole foundation to teaching children about prayer, which there might be reasons why the parents who were raising them just removed all references to religion. And so if you're coming to someone's house and you have a practice of praying before your food and they don't, well, I mean, you can't tell people, well, you know, you must pray, but then they also can't stop you from praying over your own food, you know. And then I think I may have, of course, you know, something like that, you know, you don't always think of what to do at the moment because it's such a surprise. But if I was in that situation and I had my wits about me, I might have said, well, it's always good to thank, you know, the one that provided us for having food. Gratitude is always a good thing. You'd want to be thanked if you provided something for someone. So, and it actually helps you enjoy the meal better to express your gratitude. So I'm going to pray over my food, and you don't have to pray over yours. But this is what I do because I'm grateful for the one that provided this meal for me and all those who prepared it. So, and then I'd say a blessing over my own food, and they could, you know, ignore me and start eating or whatever, or they could wait, but I would do it, you know. And then if you know, the parents came back and said, well, you forcing your religion on my family or something, like, because, you know, that happens too. People get angry if you do something, you know, pray in someone's house and they don't believe in your religion or whatever. You know, there can be some conflicts about that. And that's when you have to just diplomatically say, well, I'm not trying to make you be anything, but this is my way. So I'm going to be myself wherever I go. But, you know, because, I mean, I've had people say, well, you can't pray in my house. So those kinds of things can be definitely an issue when you come into a family that's fully formed with their own standards of behavior, and some things that might be contrary to your way. You know, that, those are the kind of conversations you have to have before you marry, actually. So before we take a break, Kareem, you wanted to say something?
Yes, you know, prayer is personal. When it's stated, we do not do that here. That's a plural. That's a plural, and that is the custom of that household. And we should not pressure people into prayer. We there should be no compulsion in religion. So once that is understood, then there is nothing wrong with you yourself just making a silent prayer. That's all. You can make a silent prayer and not make a big to do out of it.
Right.
You know,
a big show out of it.
Right. Yes. You raise your hands to the ceiling, all of that. Those are superficial gestures. You know, those are superficial gestures. But to just make a silent prayer over you, a fool, and go ahead on and enjoy the family. Enjoy
right.
everyone's presence. Don't make a big deal out of it. You know, that's my position on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a private matter.
I think that makes sense. You know, my sister told me about a friend of hers. They used to go out to lunch. You know, they'd be out in a restaurant, and her friend was really into it. You know, I mean, she'd be praying over the food, and she'd start speaking in tongues, and you're like, the whole thing. And of course, you're at a restaurant. How disruptive is that? So I'm thinking, okay, I got to know you're grateful, but, you know, was that really necessary? You know, and I'm not one to disrupt the person's prayer. But, you know, come on now, you're doing a full-blown worship service, and we just trying to eat lunch out of the cafe, you know. So I guess.
You know, as Muslims, Naima, we ought to just simply say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's it. With God's
yes,
name and that's it. It's very short, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a
name of God.
I had a situation concerning my brother-in-law. He is a reverend without a church, but he considered himself as a man of the cloth. My wife was in the hospital. We were facing some very serious situations. And but she had expressed to me that she did not want my brother-in-law praying over her. She she expressed that, and she had her reasons why. So all right, she is in the hospital, and it's real iffy. We don't know what's going to happen. Before leaving, he stands, he raises his hands and getting ready. I said, no, John, no, don't do that. Do you know he got very upset? He was insulted and all of that. I prayed over blah, blah, blah. And if it wasn't for my sister, I would have cut into him very sharp. You know,
Wow. Look,
this is my wife. You know, this is my wife. And whatever I order you not to do, you respect that, man, you know. So I was confronted with that type of dilemma. But she had asked me, don't let John be standing over me praying. You know, that we have reasons. She had reasons for feeling like that. So I expressed that to him. And he really got all upset, and I held on to my temper, and I spoke with my sister outside the hospital. I said, "You know what, Sylvia?" She said, "Yeah, I know. I know, Kareem, I know." I said, "Girl, I love you." She said, "I know. I know." So I was, you know, so I put that up because out of love for my sister, she has to live with this man. And he and I didn't speak anymore until one of my sisters was dying of cancer.
Wow.
In the hospital. So this is very important. You can't impose on another person, even those that are atheists. There is no compulsion in religion. Let them come willingly, willingly. So, you know, religion is a personal matter and also a social matter for those of your faith, those that, you know, that agree with the spiritual life. But we should not force people into positions like that. It demeans, it devalues. I'll stop right there.
Yeah, that can be a real sensitive thing. I can understand how he probably felt hurt. It's like, oh, you're trying to say I ain't holy enough or something. Like, people always take whether you're pro or con, people always take prayer personally. You know, if
if they offer to pray and you say, well, no, we don't want you to pray, then they take it personally. Or if, you know, they offer to pray and you don't want them to pray, and, you know, then, you know, and they do it anyway, you feel insulted because, like, I don't want you throwing your religion at me, you know. So it's always a hard thing because, like you said, it is personal. And those are the kind of things you have to talk about when you're coming to a family. Zelda says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen, sisters, blended families are a challenge but doable. And she asked, when you were asked not to pray, was it because of a different faith? Of course, in the situation Maika was talking about, that was just simply not the family practice. It's just like she just said, well, we don't do that here. You know, so that was it was no faith at all. And then, of course, in the other situation, I guess, with Brother Kareem, I think it was, well, you know, sometimes you just don't want the vibes from that person and you try to be diplomatic about it. And it's kind of hard to be diplomatic when people have appointed themselves as the family religious spokesman for God, you know, and maybe you don't accept that self-appointed position that they've taken. They could get very offended. I've seen that happen. I have definitely experienced that as well. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We're talking about step-parenting. Can you raise another's child as your own? How do you deal with it when you come into a family and maybe the dynamics are different than how you've raised your family? If you're trying to put together a blended family, how are you impacted based on the age of the children, especially if they're a little bit older? They've already been raised. They already got their personalities. You really can't shape them. They are who they are. How do you handle that? And what if there is resentment? How do you handle that? We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim, of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our guest co-host, Maika, as we talk about step-parenting. Can you raise another's child as your own? What are some of the issues that blended families have? And how do you deal with resentment when perhaps the children do not welcome you into the family? Blended families are more and more common as more people remarry after a divorce or a death of a spouse. And many times the children are not emotionally ready to attach to another adult as a parent. You can't force it, but there does need to be harmony. So now if you have had this situation, if you're living in this situation, now we want to get your opinion. How did you handle it? 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And press 1. To let the host know you have something to say. So, well, Mike, and you know, one of the things that I was very aware of when I married into my husband's family, he already had children who were teenage. So it wasn't like, you know, I was going to be raising children from childhood. They already were themselves grown. Matter of fact, his oldest daughter, she was about to be married herself. She was 19, his son was 20, and his other daughter was 14. And so here I was, you know, a young woman coming into a family that was already formed in terms of, you know, their personalities and who they were. So I knew that my role was not going to be one of trying to raise them, but just basically try to maintain peace, you know, and realizing that there's always hurt, like, you know, Kareem was saying, the children wish there had not been an end to the marriage of the parents, because as far as they're concerned, they love both parents. They just want everybody to get along. You know, unless there was abuse, which in that case there wasn't. Sometimes you grow apart in certain ways or have differences of opinions over time. But, you know, the children just want you to work it out so you can keep it together. And when that doesn't happen, there is some disappointment. And because there was a 20-year difference between my husband and I, that presented a whole different kind of dynamic, because I was actually closer in age to his oldest children than I was to him. So that was that was definitely an emotional adjustment that they needed to make. But I was, and one thing I was consciously aware of was to never speak ill of their mother and never put myself in position of being in opposition to her or competition with her over anything, because I knew that would be very hurtful to them. I never wanted them to feel like, you know, you're choosing sides between her and me. You know, never. You know, this is your mother and that's your relationship.
you know, and I always said to them, you know, the relationship between your mother and father is between them, you know, and no one really knows the intimacy of a relationship other than the people involved. You know, it's not for me to have an opinion about it. And, you know, the best thing that I can do is just be supportive of the children as they're growing into their next phase of adulthood. But it was challenging once my daughter was born because, you know, now you have the reality of a new child. And I understood that there was going to be a reaction based on if she was male or female. If she had been male, then, you know, that might have had a different response to my husband's son. She was female, so that created a different response to the daughters. And I'm grateful that over the years, my daughter's been able to navigate the relationship so that, you know, she has a good relationship with her sisters and brother from her father's previous marriage. But that, again, was growth over time because there is pain when a marriage ends. There is pain because you wish it hadn't ended, but you couldn't figure out how to not make it end. And sometimes I think just in observing how couples handle things, because we as a people tend not to get counseling, sometimes think if we could have more conversations about what disappointed us, what made us angry, what made us lose trust, whatever it is, we could probably work it out. But we tend not to have help. And I know that was an era where everybody was kind of, we as a people were going through some things, revolution-wise. There was a change between the people who were following the status quo and those who were being radically different. So you had people changing religions. It just so happened, you know, my husband, previous wife, you know, they had become Muslim, and the kind of way that sort of creates a bit of a separation between your Christian family. So when you have problems, you might not necessarily be able to go to them because, you know, they already think you're crazy or you're following that crazy religion. So, you know, sometimes the kinds of support you might have are not there when you do something radically different than what your family did. And so that can tend to have an impact as well. So I think the biggest thing is to have some type of a support system, especially if you're trying to do a blended family. There has to be some people who are pulling for you and want it to work. Because sometimes inside, you know, there's almost like, well, you know, why should this relationship work and the other one didn't, you know? And because sometimes there's a need for a person to show that they weren't at fault. So, and maybe the one who remarries makes the one feel that who didn't remarry that, oh, it must have been your fault. I got another spouse and you didn't. And sometimes that can have an emotional impact. And, you know, the children feel all of the emotions of both parents, and it really is like walking a tightrope not to, if you're the person coming into the family, it's like walking a tightrope not making anybody angry at you, because sometimes you can end up being the target for everybody's anger, and you just, you know, happen to be there, but you represent the broken family, and that's what makes it difficult when you marry someone who was previously married. It's as if your presence is what made the family not come back together. That might not be the case, but it could easily be seen that way by the children. So
how does one deal with that if they are seen by the children as the reason that the original parents didn't come together? Oh, now you're here, so now they'll never get back together, and it's all your fault. They were split before I got there. How do you deal with that if that is the emotion that the children have? Like you mentioned, Maika, the resentment of, wait a minute, you having this new son and he gets to be the one that's called by your name. I came first. I should have been. That's one of those lifelong things. How do you fix that? Is it fixable? Check your mute on your phone.
Yeah, that resentment can easily come up because people view things from very different perspectives, and they usually cling to their perspectives. My husband was 15 years older than me, and he had a scattered family. So it wasn't blended. It was like everybody, all his children were scattered. And so I did take it upon myself to bring the children together, and this was probably prior to me having children, or my children were infants like that at that age, because none of them had really had a lot of time with their father because of his activities, as an activist. So they felt abandoned, and it's really interesting when you get into that whole scenario, that children want, it's like they want specific time with their parents their father or their mother. And it doesn't matter what they're doing. They could be going to work or be in the military. It's like they can take on the position that you weren't there for me. I have one situation with one of my daughters. She married a man who was her childhood sweetheart, and he had two children when they got married because they came apart when they went to college. And then they came back together. When they came back together, he had two children, and she had two children, and then they had two children together. So the younger children, all the older children, they had this one thing they agreed on, that the two young children that my daughter and her husband had together, that they were privileged, that they got more than more time, more attention, more things than they got when they were younger, when they were with their parents. So it's like they just had to work it out, because they had to get a big house where everybody could have their own room. That's another problem that comes up when you're dealing with blended families. Most of these apartment and houses have two bedrooms. Now you got all these children. Yeah. How are you going to make room in the house to accommodate all of the children and make sure that they're not into some hanky-panky and stuff, because children come with their issues. So they just, over time, they kind of worked it out, and everybody's happy now. But initially, it was like, oh, my God, all I hear, and they do this for them, and they take them on vacations. And I never went on vacation with them, and, it was just always something. There's always something in the air. So, again, that's where that maturity thing comes in, because you have to help your children to mature also, to take, to understand the big picture, because that's what maturity is about, understanding the big picture, not just what you see with your eyes and what you feel with your toxic emotions. You have to go beyond that so that you can be at peace with whatever is, because you can't change it from a state of discord or anxiety. Nothing's going to change from that perspective. You have to be in a peaceful state if you're going to make changes. And all changes that are effective start within. So, those are problems. There are a lot of problems. I mean, there's a problem with just parenting, period.
Right.
Children coming from other mothers and other fathers. And then I found also that a lot of times the attitudes of the other mothers would have an effect on their children as it related to me. So no matter what I did, there was a problem from somebody. But I overcame. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm still here, one piece.
But, one thing that can happen, over time we all grow and we mature.
And you might marry someone that's at a more mature phase in their life than they were when they were married to someone else. But that previous spouse might feel like, oh, how come he can act right for you, but he didn't act right for me? You know, and that's how they see it. And it isn't that, you know, they mistreated them and they're treating you nice. It's that they have matured, and so they're not that same person. Fortunately, the marriage couldn't sustain the time of their growth, and it ended. And then you got with the person when they were at another phase in their life, when they perhaps had more maturity. So before for the ex-spouse, they look at it like, oh, he's treating you better, and, you know, he did this and this and this to me, but now he's treating you right, you know. And that's not really how it is. This is now a person who has matured. And especially if they married young, if they had children young, didn't know anything, because most young parents know nothing. You know, so even the children from the later marriage get treated better because you have matured. You've learned some things. You know, you made all the mistakes on the first ones. And then the later ones, yeah, they get the parent that's more patient, more understanding, maybe even better established financially. So, yeah, the older children, maybe they were the time where you went through the struggle and you lived in a one-room apartment and children sleeping on the couch, and they went through all of that. But then by the time you had the later children, now you got a house. So they had a whole different experience. You had two cars, you know, all that stuff. So that's where a lot of resentment comes in sometimes, with the older children feeling like the ones who came later, or the new marriage, that, well, now they're living good, but we had the struggle. And so that's sometimes that resentment lasts forever, you know, and you find adults still angry about those kinds of things. So Corrine, what do you think?
Before you go to Corrine, you mentioned that's very important and a lot of times people don't take into account. And that is that people change over time. That people are not the same. That they grow, they learn, they mature, and as a result, they don't do the same things that they may have done in the past. But we hold stuff against you did this, that, and the other. Yeah, that was then, and I apologize. However, I'm not like that anymore. And it's hard for people to realize that change of personality. But that's all I wanted to point out, something that what you were talking about. Yes, Corrine, what's your thought?
Yeah, and I definitely agree with what Maika just said about that people changing, because sometimes people won't let go of the past. And, you know, even though you're not that person anymore, it's like they can't understand that you have grown, and they want to keep punishing you for what you did when you didn't know any better.
Yes, I can identify with that. I was 17 when I became a father and a husband. What did I know? Really, almost nothing, you know. For real. My spouse at that time, she was young also. And what did we know? We knew almost hardly nothing. A lot of mistakes were made. I can share my shortcomings. I was very selfish. I can say these things now because I know them to be a fact when I look back. I was very selfish. I was not willing, you know, my God, to share, but I'm in a circumstance, in a situation that truly requires sharing, giving of yourself. And my a wife at that time, she was young and naive, just like me. And thank God for our parents, they stepped in and shared in the rearing of our daughter, Michelle. Years have passed, and Michelle shared with me that she would ask her mother. Now, she grew up, you know, she was growing up, she was in her adolescence period. That means an adult with less sense, as Mark said.
Yes.
she asked her mother, how come you and Daddy can't just make up, you know, just be friends and y'all get back together? And her mother had grown somewhat, and she said, well, you know, that's not realistic. He had moved on with his life, and I moved on with mine. My first wife and I, when we finally grew and became adults, and we looked back at our behavior and our experiences, we both agreed that we were children and we were ill prepared, you know. We forgive each other for our mistakes, our shortcomings, and we are very good friends now. We are very good friends, but realizing where we were at that period in our life, it helps us to understand what happened and why. I could admit mine. I was young. I was very selfish. There were things that I wanted that I had never had, and now here is the chance to acquire those things and all of that. So we were ill-prepared. We were basically children ourselves. And then having that conversation with our daughter, you know, explain to her what took place of our just being children and not knowing, you know. That truly has helped Michelle, you know, because she have gone through some of the same experiences that we share with her that we went through, you know. So we grow. We don't stay as we were. You can be a married 10 years. Well, that person that you married is not the same person after 10 years. We grow,
right.
We evolve, and we grow, you know. As I reiterate, I thank God that our parents stepped in and helped us. As I stated earlier, we are all parents as adults, whether we have children from our loins or not. We are parents, and children react upon how you treat them, They relate to how you make them feel. We have to be conscious of that. If you're showing favoritism to one, then you need to reflect on how is that making the other sibling, how are they treated, and make the necessary steps to somewhat create an equilibrium. And spending that, I will reiterate this here, it's very important that we spend personal time with each of our children, time to make a personal connection with each of us, and let them express how they feel. Let them express what their concerns are. Because you are showing an interest, now you are creating a personal bond with each child, even though that child may not even be from your loins. Create
right.
that space and that time. I'll stop right there, my sister.
Right. Yes, I definitely agree. You have to do that. And, you know, there are a lot of people who realize that first relationship they had, they didn't know. And a lot of times there's no help. You know, there was a period where people would make you get married, say if the girl got pregnant, you know, if you were intimate pregnancy, 18, 19, 17, you know, I mean, whatever the case may be, parents want you to marry because that's the proper thing to do. But in putting you in that marital situation, there's no guidelines on how to treat each other. I mean, you say some vows in a religious ceremony, but there's no follow-up with counseling or help when there is conflict. So all you have is your own immaturity. And, you know, over time, the arguments, the fights, as you grow, you know, your egos and all of that stuff, growing into maturity, if you can't grow together, you're going to grow apart. And, you know, like you experienced, Kareem, and a lot of other couples, they just simply had not grown up. And it's hard to sustain a relationship when you still are a bit of a child yourself and it, without help. And most of the time, we don't have people who know how to help. And that's what makes it hard for it to last. Well, we got to take another break. And when we come back, there are a lot of people who are in situations where someone else is raising their children. How do you feel about it if you must allow another man or another woman to raise your children? How much do they need to hear from you in terms of what you expect, what your standards are? Do you allow another parent to discipline your child, especially if they're using methods that you don't agree to? How do you handle that if you are the one who someone else is raising your child? We'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online, want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so that we know you have something to say. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a
moment. Tax out higher than ever.
Give you all the visual.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson. Now I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Higher learning network.
And we are back. Wait, we've got one more message for you. And if you are listening online, we want to hear from you. If you have been in a step-parenting situation, how did you handle it when you had to let someone else raise your child? We'll be right back.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Radio TV show. If you want to join us on Facebook, go to Facebook and type in the Female Solution and you'll see me right here. And of course, our co-host Kareem Hamid and our guest co-host Maika are right here with me, and you'll hear their wisdom as we talk about step-parenting. Can you raise another child as your own? Well, you know, I know about five men that I've talked to recently, and they all are experiencing the emotions of having other men raise their children. And sometimes it evokes a certain amount of resentment, sometimes anger, sometimes gratitude, depending on what the situation is. But I think there's always a tendency to compare yourself with someone else, especially if the step-parent can provide something that maybe you couldn't provide. Like maybe, you know, this is the child that you had when you were young and struggling and trying to get through school or trying to, you know, work a low-paying job, trying to live in a little bitty tiny apartment. And then later on, spouse remarries, and the new spouse has all of this financial security that they're presenting, and seems like they're throwing it in your face. They can buy the child this expensive toy or expensive bike or, you know, something that you couldn't do. And the feeling is that they're trying to make you look bad. That's some of the things that various men have expressed to me that they felt when other men who were raising their children were able to provide things that they couldn't. And, you know, I had one friend that said he's just trying to, you know, buy my son's affection, and he's trying to make me look bad, you know, and those kinds of things. So how do we feel if the step parent is able to maybe do some things we weren't able to do? Maybe they have time that we didn't have. Maybe we were working really hard and trying to either build a career, build a business, or even as you say, you know, being an activist in the movement, because that itself was a job. I mean, we gained a lot of things as a people, but what about those people who were on the front lines making it happen? That was a sacrifice. You were working 24/7. You didn't always have time for your family, or the demands were so great. You know, the risks were great. You're doing things like going to jail and, you know, organizing rallies and, you know, sometimes putting your life on the line, facing people who were vicious and violent for the sake of a better future for all of us. And we do have that better future that many people sacrificed, some with their lives, for us to get there. So there was some fallout in those marriages. So how does a person feel if they watch someone else do what they couldn't do in the marriage? And, you know, does it make you feel bad if you see someone else being able to give to your child what you couldn't give them? Do you think your child looks at you less? Do you feel like maybe, you know, they'll have less respect for you or something? What is that emotion like? So I think Kareem is back with us now.
Yes.
And, of course,
yes.
Anybody that's on our switchboard, feel free to press 1. If you have a thought you'd like to share, we'll be glad to open your mic. And if you're watching us on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments. We'll certainly share them with our listening and viewing audience. Deborah from Move Around with Deborah says, Grand Rising, great topic and responses. Wow, as time changes, most people change. Is there really a normal? That's a good question, because I think everybody's family was dysfunctional, you know, and we keep thinking that there was a normal, but there wasn't any. Everybody's dysfunctional. If you're living on planet Earth, you're dysfunctional. So the thing is to get through the dysfunction. But what happens if your ex-spouse remarries and it seems like the person that they married is showing you up in a certain kind of way to your children, or you feel that, you know, how do you handle that?
Well, I'd like to speak to that.
You know,
I have 6 children, and by the time my fifth and sixth child children came around, I was literally burnt out. You know, I just not focus on being there as a fully-fledged parent to my last 2 children, particularly my last child. And then there was a separation also. So as a result, you know, he doesn't know me as a mother. He knows me because the mothering that he received was between infancy and, say, 5 years old. But after that, he doesn't know me as a mother. So there's an estrangement there because he was raised by other women who his father was in relationship to. So it can create, you know, he doesn't have memories of being with me, and so he can't even relate to me as a mother. So the way he deal with other people, that's how he'll deal with me. But there's no difference in terms of, oh, this is my mother, you know. So that is a problem. Mm. That has been a problem in my family and in my relationship. And it can create rifts when other people raise your children.
But does he understand why you were maybe distant or absent or burned out? Does he understand? Or
he wants
like
to
maybe
understand
he didn't love
from his perspective, but he doesn't communicate. You know, I find that these younger generation, these millennials, they have a tendency to shut down. They just stop talking, stop relating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like as if something gonna come out of nothing. So I don't understand that generation. I just accept it now because I realize it's across the board, because other mothers tell me the same thing, that they have, that they run into the same problem with the millennials that I run into.
Do you think maybe it's because they've been raised by so much electronics, you know, where you get used to having a relationship with a cell phone or a you know, computer device,
as opposed to a real person.
Because
I've noticed that too. Yeah, it seems
such a lack of communication.
Yeah. And I think even the lifestyle, and we've talked about this before, you know, you don't have the family gathering around the dinner table to talk about everybody's day. You know, that doesn't happen as much. Everybody's on the go and running, and you grab a bite to eat and you run out the door. And so when you don't have time, you don't have the Sunday evenings, everybody's just kind of, you know, not even the, you know, after church worship service or whatever, everybody sits around and talks. I mean, it's just, there doesn't seem to be culturally the time where we talk to each other. At the most families might do is have the TV running, and maybe you might have, you know, a few people who sit around and watch the same show, but then you also have the children in their own room with their own TV or their own cell phone watching that, or you know, YouTube on the computer, whatever it is. But it's like, we created a culture where people don't talk to each other, and they instead spend time being amused by a screen. And so when there's a problem, we don't have a time designated where we're going to have a family discussion, so nobody talks. And that goes on year after year after year. So you look up and there is an estrangement. And I've seen that in so many families. You know, it's like, wow, how did this happen? We're not even talking. Or we sit at the table and everybody's into their cell phone. We're not even having a conversation. So I don't know if something has to change in order for that to not become the new normal, where nobody is able to have an interpersonal conversation, especially when there is a difficulty that has to be addressed. We're having a lot of distance between people, even though everybody's in the same house sometimes and nobody's talking to anybody. So, Kareem, what have you observed?
You are definitely right on point. There are a lot of gadgets and scenario that have came between family members. I can say that during the shutdown, the pandemic shutdown, the quarantining, the families were in the same house, and to some degree, that somewhat forced being around each other and getting to know one another, you know. But still, there has to be that time created for that. Unfortunately, it took this COVID pandemic to do that. So how can I, that, you know, I have a friend that was and is a social activist, very involved in the community in which he lives, trying to stamp out drugs, and violence, and gang activity. And he spent a lot of his time in that arena, in that area. But come to find out, right under his own house, his son had got involved with gangs. Mm-hmm. He wasn't quite aware of it because he was so focused on what was going on outside.
Yeah.
His son has since lost his life, you know. And that was kind of a wake-up call for all of us to look at that, Almighty God says in the priority of things, save yourself and your family So we should never neglect that formula. First, you have to be on the right course yourself. And then reach out to your family members to secure them also. For the community is only a reflection of the family. So that's, you know, that's just something for us that are socially involved to look at. And I reiterate, spending personal time, the most valuable property that we have is life and time. You can't get that back. It's life and time. So, you know, we cannot overlook that. I especially in a blended family, you know, you want a child to see you as a sincere advisor, one that will give you the best of their advice. They are not replacing your biological parent, but you should be seen as a sincere advisor. And that only comes about when you have spent the time to develop that type of a relationship. So important. That blended family, there are more and more blended families now. And what we are offering here is a way of survival, of surviving that blended family. We are all family. You know, we are all, let me say this. At one time, the parent was more than just the person that paid the rent and bought you food, clothes, and shelter. The parent was the neighbor next door. A parent was adult in the neighborhood that you lived in. So we are parents, whether we realize it or not. And by way of another man raising my child, and he's able to provide those things that I couldn't at that time, I would express to men that we should appreciate that man that's able to provide good, wholesome things that you could not provide at that time. Let your children hear you say, you know, I truly appreciate Mr. Harris. Thank God for he is doing an excellent job. You know, don't become resentful of him. Appreciate him. And let your child know that you appreciate what they are able to provide for them. For at I didn't have the means to provide those things for you, but I'm so grateful that you now have a parent that can provide those things that I could not. I appreciate him, and I hope you appreciate him also.
That takes a person really being able to swallow their ego to admit that someone is doing what they couldn't. And sometimes it's hard, especially if you're feeling like someone else's success is a sign of your failure, you know, and that's what it is that brings resentment, when people feel like if this person succeeds and my children like him and he's with my wife and, you know, that makes me feel like I'm less of a man. I'm a failure. If a person is carrying that feeling inside of them, then that's going to create resentment. Now, it's one thing if, okay, she's remarried, I'm remarried, and everybody's happy, and, you know, okay, we're grateful for the new spouses in both of our lives that have been able to step in and do a good job. I think it's hard on a person who maybe has not remarried or is not in a relationship where they are also feeling successful. Because I'm told by everybody who's gone through a divorce that there's a feeling of having failed and having failed at life. And depending on how other people around you respond to the ending of the marriage, you know, you can either see it as, well, you know, we grew apart,
and we're evolving in different directions. And, you know, we chose to set each other free so that we could be free to grow in the way that we want to grow. Or we can look at it like, oh, I'm a failure. I couldn't make this work. There's something wrong with me. And that's, I think, the pain that people carry after a marriage ends. And that's how come sometimes people feel compelled to blame the other person so that their children can see them as not the one at fault. You know, but see, if they had done this, if they did that, or they were awful, you know, unless it's a case of clear abuse, most of the time most children will feel like, it's like, you know, you say, your daughter said, well, how come y'all just can't make up? Because it's, I mean, as you're on the playground, okay, I invite my friends, we get mad at each other, we make up, and then it's, you know, we're back together again, we're friends again. You know, how come y'all can't just do that? Which would seem easy, but it's so much more complicated when there are memories of hurt, maybe distrust, or maybe, you know, you don't, whatever attracted you in the beginning, you don't like them anymore, they've changed, whatever it is, and it's just, it's hard to rekindle that desire for the emotional intimacy with that person, and it's hard to explain that to a child, because they just know that their family, it's like somebody snatched the rug out from under them. Their foundation has crumbled. So that's the hard thing. And so if someone remarries and it's working and the child is happy, it is challenging to not look at it as, well, they made it work. It must be something wrong with me. Maybe I'm defective. And that's the thing we have to get over. That feeling that somebody has to be wrong or bad or at fault when a relationship ends, so that if someone does remarry, we can actually wish them well. Okay, now that you're in this phase of your life, you've met someone who is suitable to where you are, and I'm happy for you, and the children are happy. You're doing a good job with my children. I'm grateful for that. Now, when we can do that, that's when we know we have matured. When we can get to that level where we actually are able to express gratitude for the person who has stepped in and is able to be a loving parent to our children, and we can be happy and seeing that they're doing a good job, that's when we know we have matured. So we got to take, let's see, the time for the next break. Yes. Okay, we got to take one last break. And when we come back, advice for people who are considering marrying somebody with children. What are some of the things, what are some of the conversations they should have ahead of time so they can be prepared what may happen? And when they meet the children of the potential spouse for the first time, what are some things they should look for? We'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1, and we'll open your mic and get your comments. And if you are, or you can call 515-605-9891. Again, press 1, so host Kareem can know that you have something to say, and open your mic. And if you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube, write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our guest co-host, Maika, and we are talking about step-parenting. Can you raise another child as your own? Well, there are a lot of dynamics that come into that situation, and sometimes the children really don't want you in the family, because your presence means that their original parents are never going to get back together. And sometimes children carry that hope all their lives because they feel broken when the family breaks apart. Unless there was just outright abuse, most children feel like, if you all could just make up and get along, we'd be fine. Why can't you just do that? But we can't. We choose to split. Or maybe there's a parent that passes away. There's the death of a parent, and maybe children feel like, well, you need to mourn our mother longer. You need to mourn our father longer. Why are you getting involved with someone? Didn't you love them? And so there can be that resentment.
Unmuted.
So what advice would you give to someone who is considering stepping into a relationship with someone who has children? And maybe they also have children. Should there be a family meeting ahead of time? I remember Steve Harvey was telling the story about when him and his wife, Marjorie, they first brought all their children together. Say, well, you know, we're considering getting married. And the children went off and had a meeting, and they came back and said, well, we decided y'all shouldn't. We decided y'all should not get married. And sometimes that's, you know, how children feel. They feel like, well, if we're going to be a family, you know, I vote no. So how do you handle that? First of all, do you have that meeting with the children of your prospective spouse? And what if they express a disagreement to the relationship? Do you ignore it? Do you talk about it? Do you give them a voice? Or do you say, look, this is what's going to happen. You can like it or not like it, but this is just what it is. How do you handle that?
You know, Naima, sometimes I'm for having that family meeting and discussion. But choosing a mate is personal and social. Personal and social. I desire someone in my life, someone that I can live my life with. This is a mate for me. You know, in some cases, parents have followed the advice of their children. Their children go on and get married, raise families, and the parent is sitting there, an empty nester. All the children have left, and they're living their lives. And here you are, in your senior years, sitting there alone, when that person that you chose for yourself may have been compatible for you, a very valuable addition in your life. So, yes, you can consider the opinion of your family, of both children. But the ultimate decision is who do you want as a mate in your life? These type of scenarios have happened. The parents, since they're alone, the children have gone on, married, raising families, and that person that had chose someone as their mate, they are alone. I heard one woman express that she had raised her children, and she was fully involved in the raising of her children. But as time went on, her children left home, and she felt empty. Mm-hmm. She felt as if her life didn't have any purpose.
Yeah.
Any purpose. She felt alone and empty. So these are some things we have to look at and weigh. Yes, we do want everyone, you know, our family members to be in agreement. But at the same time, you are choosing a mate for you. For you. Those children have their biological parent. Yes, if they are still living. But what about you? You're choosing a mate for, you are not choosing parents for your children. If their parent is yet alive, they have that.
Yeah.
So you are choosing a mate for you, someone that you agree with, they're honest, all of those laudable attributes for you. So I think we should consider that and not fully negating the opinion of others, but let it come all the way home.
Yeah.
This is a mate for you. I'll stop right there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because your children will tell you, no, you shouldn't be seeing this person, you shouldn't be seeing that person. And so, like you say, then you decide, well, they don't like them, so I guess I won't. And then they grow up, they're going on with their lives, and you're sitting there alone because you listen to them. I've seen that happen. Even a friend who married, and, you know, the daughter didn't like the wife. And so eventually they split, and the daughter, you know, she went on and, you know, got married, had a child, and, you know, the guy, he realized, wait a minute, I let you create friction in my life, and now that I'm, you know, elder, I'm here alone. You know, maybe I should not have done that. But, you know, you don't realize things at the time. So I think that is something to think about when you are in a relationship with someone and your child is growing into adulthood. You're really not looking for a parent for them. Like you say, you're looking for somebody who can maybe a trusted advisor, someone who can provide a sense of stability and emotional support when needed. But they've already been raised by whoever raised them. They're getting to be like teen years or whatever, or even if they're already adults, you know, they're already who they are. So you basically are looking to establish a relationship with someone who's going to be with you into your senior years, or, you know, for the rest of your phases of life. And people don't think about that sometimes. So in that meeting with the family or the children or whatever the case may be, do you think there needs to be, let's say the children are of minor age, do you think you need to have that meeting with the parent of the child you're going to be step-parenting to maybe get some guidelines, some, you know, preferences? Is it possible to have a cordial meeting with someone who used to be married to the person you're about to marry? Is it possible to have a friendship or at least a non-hostile relationship? Maika, what do you think about that? Of course, you've had non-hostile relationships with women. A lot of women can't do that, you know, because there's anger, there's feelings of, you know, this woman's replacing me or whatever, you know, because we as women have been pitted against each other in a way that's very unhealthy. But when we need to co-parent each other's children in these situations, how do you have that conversation with another woman? Is there a way to do that so that there can be peace?
Again, it goes back to maturity. How mature is the other woman? And how mature are you? Whereby you can, you know, there's a saying that Elijah Muhammad had said, we have to rise above emotions into the thinking of God. That's a good statement, and I think it's something that we ought to all strive for. However, very few people are able to go beyond their emotions, especially if they're feeling low self-esteem, low self-worth, have a bad self-image. I mean, you just, everything is against you. You don't see the positive in any situation. And I have had non-hostile relationships with women in very close, intimate settings, and I often bring that up and tell women, see, I've done something you've never done. So we're different. We're going to think differently about situations because you've never experienced being a woman and sharing with a woman and creating with a woman who's also in relationship to your husband. At that point, you know, the society says you're supposed to be in discord, and most people follow that line of thought, and that's what they do. They create discord. Everything's a problem. It's unfortunate. We need to more counselors for specific issues like what you're talking about, like blending. We need counselors who are specifically designed to help people do that, so that when, you know, when they come together to meet, somebody's there who's objective, who can look at all of the points and bring up and discuss it. We tend not to be able to do that on our own because we're just not equipped. I mean, there's just so much that a person can do in this lifetime. So we need help, and we have to be able to reach out for help. And too often, we as Black people do that. We don't reach out for help. So,
Well, the wise elders are not there.
Right. I mean, we have
the wise elders aren't there. That's right. That used to be who would come and help families come together with their difficulties, but no more. The people don't even respect elders, basically. What do you got to say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we got elders that, you know, the alcohol and drug abusers who, you know, zoned out, you know, couldn't deal with their own problems. So they definitely don't have the wisdom to tell us, how do you deal with this blended family situation? And last week we talked about, we mentioned situations where people pit people against each other, whether it's parents pitting you against children or sometimes spouses pitting an ex-spouse against each other. Are there people who get a kick out of the idea of conflict? And there are some families, there's always drama. And if you look, there's always that person that instigates or says stuff or gets a kick out of their being a fight. And I can't see how that could ever bring a sense of satisfaction. And yet, some people do that. You know, they will purposely take a new spouse and play them against an ex-spouse, not wanting them to be friends, because it's like, I'm going to hurt you some more with my new spouse. So I'm going to intentionally say things to create resentment. What makes a person do that sort of thing? And I've seen that happen. What makes a person do that? Is it, again, like you mentioned, immaturity, you know, liking to see drama and conflict? What is that?
There are people who do like conflict. They thrive on conflict. I have a daughter, I had a daughter like that. She's since changed. And what changed her was as her children grew up, she ran into the same problems that she chose to reflect on to me. And then she became humble and realized that, you know, people are not always who you think they are because you're looking through your filters. And your filters, it may, you know, you may have a filter that's dirty and you're looking at another person. So, of course, they're going to be distorted in your mind. And so she came to an understanding, but it was like this girl I remember in school, she used to get into fights and stuff. I said, why are you always in fight? Mama, I like to fight. You like to fight, okay?
Some people do. Some people, they love drama. They love it.
And that's just their personality. That's all I can say. Kind of like when I think of some former president, you know, he was always causing drama and stuff. It's like, that's his personality. What can you do?
Yeah, some people, that's just who they are. Yeah, they like drama, they like conflict, yeah.
Yeah, so we have to live with them and learn how to stay at peace in the midst of them.
Yeah.
And then
you're right.
Everybody likes the peacemaker, but
they
don't understand.
But that is the challenge, especially with no with no wise elders. That's the challenge. Yeah, how to maintain peace even when some people don't want it. Yes, Dream, you were saying?
Yes, I know a woman that was in a very toxic relationship. Always a lot of drama, a lot of arguing and bickering. And she eventually left that relationship. And says to me, she said, you know, I feel kind of out of sorts. I don't feel comfortable. I said, I know what it is. You missed the drama. There's no more drama.
Yeah.
She admitted, yes. That's what it is. There are some women that will have a good man. He is predictable. He's a good provider. He does all of the things that is expected of a male to do. And some women, not all, they find displeasure in that. They want what they consider a male is one that will bring drama. They like that excitement.
Yeah.
And they'll leave that good, solid man and get with some fool.
I've seen that. It's like, well, why are you choosing that? But I think when people grow up in dysfunction, for them, that is normal. I think Deborah had said, you know, is there any such thing as normal? Whatever you're used to, for you, that is normal. So you have some people, that was their lives. It was always drama, always conflict. And they just feel like they're not alive unless they're living that. So like you say, they'll leave somebody who's stable and calm and providing, doing all the right things, mowing the lawn, doing everything that you say a man do, emptying the garbage. I mean, they're doing all the stuff and not fighting you. And so you go out and find somebody who's in conflict all the time, that you got to be always in argument because that's what you're used to. For you, that's what's normal. And you know, that I think that's one thing. You have to really spend time with a person, even in their family. Go to some family gatherings so you can see the dynamics in their family so you can understand what they're going to bring to your family because that's what they know. That's what they've been living. That's what shaped them, I think. Beata says, Grand Rising Queen, thanks for this discussion. And Deborah says, regarding those children who decide, you know, that you shouldn't have a relationship, so who is the parent? Who is raising whom? That's true. So, yeah, you have to decide what you want and make a decision, but know what it is people are bringing. Definitely. Well, it's about time for us to wrap up. And for those who have been listening in, if you didn't hear the whole conversation, feel free to go back in the archives on Facebook, YouTube, or on Blog Talk. And hear whatever you missed, and feel free to leave your comments. If you're considering a relationship with someone who has children, think about all the things that they have experienced, and are you able to be a peacemaker, even if the children might not be at peace with this new relationship? And how willing are you to stick to your guns if you decide you want to be with somebody and your children don't like it? You have to think about it. Well, we want to thank all of you all for listening in and joining in. Thank you so much, Kareem, for all of your wisdom. And thank you, Maika, for all the wonderful things you have shared with us. Continue to help us grow toward our greatest maturity. And look out for our new class on parenting. We'll be talking more about that as we introduce Parenting with Peace. All of our female solution team is participating in that process because we want to raise a different kind of child in the future, one that is able to face the world as it is and help change it to the way it should be because they are being raised with peace. Thanks again. And we will see you all tomorrow back here on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And you can join her on our Facebook page on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Naima Lateef. We'll see you again tomorrow. Continue to shine your light.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.